You guys doing okay today? Everyone here? We feeling good? A little mellow after the Dodgers loss, maybe? Maybe. That's what it is. Who are the Dodgers? So, welcome, guys. Welcome. It's great to see you. A beautiful day out here on Catalina. Real quick, couple announcements. Right after the service, we've got one of our tri-annual meetings. Just happens 3 times a year. We're going to be right in the back right after the service. So stick around. We'd love to have you join us to discuss some important things in the church, some goings-ons. Also, 62 days until Christmas. That's like 2 months, if my math is right. And Katie has told me that I need to start whipping up some Christmas tree sales. If we don't start pumping those numbers up, she's going to, I don't know, resort to something. All right? So you could buy your Christmas tree. I got myself a 5-6 Noble, I think, is the one. And I'm really excited for it, guys. It's not too early to start thinking about Christmas and your Christmas tree. So we'd love to have you jump on that. Those will be delivered early December. And we've got, obviously, Janie Sue's wonderful ministry here of Operation Christmas Child, packing boxes for children all over the world. We'd love to have your support and join us there. Absolutely. I don't know about you guys, but as the band comes up today, my life, my heart, all that is just a little bit all over the place these days. There's a lot going on. Work is crazy. It's the transition in seasons as we navigate into my favorite part of the season. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of just expectation. I don't know if you guys feel that. I love this verse out of Proverbs. Sometimes I'm feeling like I've been holding out for hope for a long time. Proverbs says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life." Later on in Psalms, "I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope." Amen. That's what we've got during this season as we look forward, expectation. What's next? The word of the Lord. And we can hold on to that and hold hope in that. I hope you guys feel that today as we worship. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Let's do it.
Amen. Thanks, Reed. And we are going to jump into some worship and praise here. As we do so, you can stand. And if you want to follow along in lyrics on the QR codes there on the tables with your smartphone, you can scan those and sing along with us. But let's turn our attention to him in this beautiful place. Gosh, what a beautiful day, huh? Blue skies out this morning. He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow. Bow before him. Open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the stop the Lord Almighty. Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chain. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow. Our God. Our God is a lion, the Lion. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow for Him. Proclaim this: who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Sing it out. Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? The chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before Him.
It just gives us strength, Lord, to know that You fight our battles. Lord, we thank You that nothing can stop You. Lord, and we know Your faithfulness is just there for us every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. We serve a great and awesome God. We thank You, Lord, that You fight our battles. We thank You that we can stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Thank You, Jesus.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in Your love. La vergüenza no tiene lugar, y las mentiras no me atraparán. Si el miedo mi pasado dejó atrás, en Ti estoy firme. En Ti estoy firme. Tu amor vence el temor. En Ti somos libres. Tu amor vence el temor. En Ti somos libres. Tu amor vence el temor. En Ti somos libres. Es tu poder que puede liberar y a los muertos resucitarás. Es tu poder que me puede salvar. A poner en Tu nombre, a poner en Tu nombre. There is power, there is power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in Your name. There's power in Your name.
estoy firme en tu gran amor. Firme de tu mano voy. Estoy firme en tu gran amor. Mi roca eterna, I am standing, for I am standing on the rock. I am standing in your love. I am standing on the rock. My firm foundation, my firm foundation. Believe it, I'm standing, for I am standing on the rock. Stand a chance when I'm standing in your love.
Hallelujah. Woo! All God's evil said. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, man. If you can be seated, go ahead. If you want to stand, continue. You can continue to praise him in other ways, right? But we'll be right back to the music in just a minute. Firm foundation, and that's what we're talking about at this particular time of the year for all of us who are gathered here, for those who've come in the vehicles, and for those who are online. We welcome you to this time that we have set aside for building that firm foundation, building the body of Jesus Christ here in Avalon. It's a perfect time to do it. We've all come back kind of beaten and battered up after the season here, and it's a good time to talk about how love indeed does cast out fear, which has kind of been the basic underlining fact when it comes to building a firm foundation. If it's not built in love, forget it, right? If it's not built with a basis and a foundation of love, forget it. Forget it. We got some great scriptures that we're going to be, that Enrique is going to be enlightening us on. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. That's right? Right? Okay, good. Just wanted to say. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood around the world, throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, whoa, I like that kind of foundation talk, right? That sure sounds like we're on topic. We'll put it that way. In this first epistle, Peter reminds us of a very important truth that's very much a part of living in a fallen world. And believe me, we are living in a fallen world. You can feel that fall every day. And I'm not just talking about the season. Christians can expect trials. Christians can expect pushback. We can expect opposition from this world and from the physical culture, the world culture that lives upon this globe. The worldly culture is led by an old-time enemy of God. Who is that? No, not Russia. Not even China, even though they're seemingly new, they're old. No, we're talking more spiritually oriented than that, because that's where we have to talk. That's where we have to go as a nation. That's where we have to go as a people, as God's people. We have to go to the spiritual side of things. We have to open up and train our spiritual eyes to be able to see things eternally of value, not the temporal, worldly value that most people build their foundations on. And what happens when the rain comes? That sand doesn't hold, does it? Satan is our chief antagonist. Interestingly enough, Peter calls him literally a lion, a king of beasts. And he is, when you look at beasts that beat us up around this world, he is the king of all those beasts, as it were. Satan is our chief antagonist. The king of beasts, precisely pictured by Peter as a roaring and prowling lion, ready to devour followers of Jesus Christ. Well, we might not see him personally in our daily battles, but the quickest way to be devoured is to not be conscious of his activity, to not, quote, see him or see his work, see him at work, the quickest way to be devoured. He is behind it. He is there. He is. However, Peter also reassures us that God provides rich benefits for those who patiently endure. For those who realize that Satan is there, he gives power to see him at work, and he gives power to battle against him at work. He reassures us that God provides rich benefits for those who patiently endure Satan's inspired suffering. Satan-inspired suffering in this world. And believe me, it's all essentially inspired by Satan. Maybe indirectly through his working through people, but it is inspired by his evil. So here's a truth, however, that we need to contemplate about that. Kind of a lighter side of that darkness. Without opposition in this life, there would be little, if any, spiritual growth in our lives at all. There is a, what we would call, a light side in this darkness for those who know Jesus Christ, who know the battle is there, and that the battle is there for a reason, and that the battle is there as a part of God's plan. Why? So that we might be built up in the faith. Amen? Instead of beating each other up, which we're good at, Satan has his cronies to help with that. Think about, deer. Have you heard of deer? Well, there is a herd of, never mind. Gifts of the spirits, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, they're given to us to battle the adversity, the satanic adversity, and they're refined in us as we battle that adversity. Satan causes our suffering, hoping that it will make us think that God's given up on us. It will make us think that God has abandoned us, but no. But Peter assures us that there's every reason to still believe that God is still there in times of suffering. He is there. And if you have eyes open to see him, you will indeed see him. And will that make a difference when it comes to suffering? Big difference. A big difference. God is still there in times of... He hasn't gone anywhere. He can't go anywhere. God is here. He is omnipresent. He is transcendent. He's there, sovereignly working in and, yes, through our suffering to make us more like his son, Jesus Christ, who suffered to be like him, right? Our problem is due to Satan's deception. We don't understand. We get confused about the role that God's appointed pain. We get confused about the role that God has appointed suffering and trials to play in our lives. And according to the scriptures, the king culprit behind much of the world's pain and suffering is indeed Satan. He's God's primary enemy, so he's our primary enemy as well. The Bible also reminds us that it's God's desire we be constantly close to God, to him, but especially trust him in times of trial. Because that's when we think we've drifted away. And that's in our thought patterns. Because we're going through these pains, we think, oh, God took off. No, no, no. The Bible's very clear on that. No, no, he's still there. And he's there willing to help during this time of trial. And in helping to build you up spiritually. Build your faith up. The Bible also reminds us that it's God's desire, again, that we be constantly close to him. And he's going to guarantee that he will be close to us, not just in good times, but in what we consider bad times as well. Satan will try to use our struggles to pry us away from God because he knows good and well that we tend to respond one of two ways during times of trial and pain and suffering. We either turn to God or we what? We turn away from God. In our passage today, Peter opens our spiritual eyes to the spiritual battle that rages around us. And in the process, he provides some advice on how to keep Satan from gaining victory in our lives. He sends us kind of an electric shockwave into our kind of materialistically induced sleepwalking that we kind of do throughout this life that we have, that we kind of walk in. He says first in verse 8, he calls us into a watchful kind of sobriety into the spiritual realities, an understanding and a stand fast in the spiritual realities. Here on earth, we need to understand the strategies and the ways of the adversary in order to set an effective watch against his works. His works will come. Will they prevail? That's the key question. Verse 9, he calls us to firm resistance of our spiritual enemy, to stand firmly against him. We look at the great weapon that Peter says that God's given into our hands for this fight, and that is our faith. Our faith, supplied and empowered by God's Holy Spirit, our faith. And thirdly, in verses 10 through 11, he strengthens us for the fight with the hope of future victory. And the hope when it comes to the Bible is not something that, well, you know, maybe, may not be. Hope, when it's talking biblically speaking, is a reality. The hope of victory at the end is a reality. Victory has already been attained. So it's our needing to make it to the end for that hope to be real. It's there already. We just have to believe it and continue to hope in it, or be in that hope to the end, to the end. Regards our battle record as we go to war in an earthly journey, King Jesus is a victorious restorer of his fallen troops, and he guarantees a final victory because he has attained it. Peter offers insights, kind of three pieces of advice here. Let's think of ours, all right? Let's go ahead and alliterate it. Recognize, resist, and remember. Recognize, resist, and remember. Say that with me, would you? Recognize, resist, and remember. Recognize Satan's existence. Recognize his activity. Don't be fooled. He is there. His most powerful weapon is deceiving us into believing he doesn't exist. Once he's done that, the rest is easy. Recognize so you can resist. Resist him by using the Word of God and his Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. Satan is to be respected, not feared. Respected, yes, not feared. His power is limited. Resistance implies an active, determined opposition, which Jesus demonstrated, right, when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And by the way, who was the one that directed him or brought him to the wilderness? It was the Holy Spirit. Do you think he dropped him there and left? No. He stayed him with it through those trials, just like he is with us through our trials. And remember what Jesus says about God's word and the importance against Satan's battles. He was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And we resist Satan the same way he did, by answering his attacks with the truth of God, as demonstrated by Jesus himself, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, remember that we're not alone in this fight. We're not alone. The Holy Spirit is there. God is there. Throughout time, believers have taken a stand in Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit to resist the adversary. We've been successful. We will continue to be successful until Jesus Christ returns, when we won't have to battle much, as much as we do today, that's for sure. It means remember also the end in which the battle is won. So recognize him so you can resist him, and remember the end result. Remember the end result. He may be a roaring lion, but as we found out this morning in that first song, the Lion of Judah is the true king. Amen? And he makes Satan look like old Puzzle. I don't know if any of you know of old Puzzle, but if you read any of Aesop's fables when you were young, old Puzzle was an old donkey that wanted respect, so he wrapped himself in an old lion skin. You know what it got him? Hurt and pain, because nobody likes lions. So no much respect, he got a lot of hurt and pain unto death. We must never try to fight the devil in our own strength. Never try to fight him alone. Only Christ in us and for us can take him on. Only then can we rest assured in that victory that has already been won for us. And so, dear Lord Jesus, we know we're no match for the enemy of our human souls, for your enemy. We know our biggest weaknesses, or he does, and he exploits them. And we know he and his demons are attacking your children. You see us in battle. You see us lose. You know exactly what we're going through. So please protect us with your Holy Spirit and the truth of your word, and help us gain footholds against Satan. Protect us with your angels. Protect us because you love us. Continue to teach us in battle because you love us. Don't let the lion devour any of your children. I especially pray a blessing on Enrique this morning, as my heart is eager and open to hear what you have given to him to give to us. Empower him as we listen together this morning, and as we look forward to the restoration that you will bring when this entire war is over and we are safely on the other side of the veil that hides you. Help make us strong in the hope that you're coming to rescue us in life, or maybe even death. And all God's children said, amen.
Alone in my sorrow, dead in my sin, lost without hope, with no place to begin. Your love made a way, and let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, now ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner. My shame was a ransom you faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life. your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your displayed on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free,
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 forever.
So good, those words that we sing, you know, just the truth of living out of that freedom. You know, he set us free, so we're free indeed, right? In the Son of Jesus, all that he's done for us. And so we live out of that freedom and not give ourselves over, like Galatians says, who cut in on you? You know, who's taking that ground back from you that was given to you by Jesus himself? So hold strong in Jesus. Live out of that free place that he has given us. And that's why, Jesus, we just worship you this morning. We give all praise and honor to you because you're so worthy because of all that you've done for us. So thank you. Thank you for freeing us. May we live out of that freedom today. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Yes, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Sing out, worthy. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one that could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Yes, we live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those.
Talking about that foundation this morning as we sing these words, let it be our prayer this morning. I will build my life.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you.
Good morning. Let's do this again. Buenos dias. Yes. What's up? Right? The title this morning is No Pain, No Gain. Have you ever heard of that expression? This expression is found in gymnasiums, t-shirts, etc. I wasn't sure how they would say it in Spanish, so I was looking it up on the internet. ¿Has oído hablar la expresión, sin ganas, no ganas? If you don't try, you don't win. Esta expresión se encuentra en gimnasios, camisetas, etc. So the question is, what does this mean for us? Are we to exercise to the pain of injury? No. It's used to say that this is necessary to suffer or work hard in order to succeed or make progress. In terms of the expression is used for development, and that discomfort caused may be beneficial if done right. Beneficial pain refers to the result of tearing microscopic muscle fibers, which will be rebuilt, making a bigger and stronger muscle. So when we work out, we exercise, we are tearing down some tissue so that our body can rebuild itself to make itself stronger. En la definición dice, se usa para decir que es necesario sufrir o trabajar duro para triunfar o progresar. El dolor beneficio se refiere al resultado del desgarro de fibras musculares microscópicas que se reconstruirán
haciendo un músculo más grande. So the question, how do we build up the body of Christ? Let's look at two. La pregunta, ¿cómo construimos el cuerpo de Cristo? Miramos dos. Well, first thing we need is to have a good diet. Absolutely necessary if you're going to build your body. In John 4:31-34, the disciples came to Jesus and they insisted that he eat some of the food that they had brought back with them, saying, "Teacher, you must eat something." But Jesus told them, he says, "I have eaten a meal that you don't know about." Puzzled by this, the disciples began to discuss it among themselves. Did someone already bring him food? To clarify, Jesus spoke up and said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and bring it to completion." That is our diet, our spiritual diet, is to do the will of our Father and to bring it to completion. That is our diet, our spiritual diet. La dieta implica el uso de una ingesta específica de nutrición para la salud. En Juan 4:31 dice, mientras tanto los discípulos le insistían a Jesús, "Rabbi, coma algo." Jesús les respondió, "Yo tengo una clase de alimento que ustedes no conocen. ¿Le habrá traído a alguien que a comer mientras nosotros no estábamos?" Se preguntaban los discípulos entre unos a otros. Entonces Jesús explicó, "Mi alimento consiste en hacer la voluntad de Dios, quien me envió, y terminar su obra." Eso es nuestra dieta espiritual. So then the second thing we do is we have exercise, this thing called exercise. It's any bodily activity that enhances or maintains physical fitness and overall health. A word that used to describe this is called resistance training. So basically what you're doing, if let's say you're lifting weights, what you're doing is you're resisting gravity. You're picking up something that has some weight and you're lifting it over or away from your body, and then you're fighting it as it comes crashing down onto your body, and then you push it away and you just keep going back and forth, right? Or you're pulling something down and it's trying to pull you back up. You're resisting something. And every time you resist that thing, it is making you stronger. It's a form of activity that improves your muscular fitness, and it exercises a muscle or a muscle group against any kind of external resistance. El ejercicio es cualquier actividad corporal que mejora o mantiene la condición física y la salud en general. Una palabra que se usa para describir esto se llama entrenamiento de resistencia. El entrenamiento de resistencia es una forma de actividad física diseñada para mejorar la aptitud muscular, ejercitando un músculo o un grupo de músculos contra la resistencia externa. So there are three ways that we spiritually develop using resistance. Hay tres formas en que nos desarrollamos espiritualmente usando la resistencia. First thing we have to do is we have to make a choice to work out. I have this saying that I say once in a while. It's like, whenever I have a desire to work out, I just lay down and for a while wait until it goes away. Those are those mornings that it's just not there, right? We have those. Tenemos que decidir hacer el ejercicio. Es una elección. Elegimos salir de nuestra zona de confort, sirviendo a los demás, etc. What we do when we make a choice to grow spiritually, we're making a choice to get out of our comfort zone, just like we would to get out of bed and go work out. We get out of our comfort zone by serving others. All of those things are all part of your development spiritually. We work through an unplanned life event. Something happens. We live in this fallen world, sickness, death, financial issues, whatever. Those are all part of the resistance that we have as people.
Trabajamos a través de eventos de la vida no planificadas en este mundo caído, en la enfermedad, muerte, finanzas, etc.
You see, you're also, as Pastor Ron shared, you battle against the enemy of your soul, and that's what we're going to focus on today.
Luchamos contra el enemigo de tu alma.
In 1 Peter 5:8, he says, "Be self-controlled and alert.
Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and established. In Primera de San Pedro 5:8, dice, estén alerta. Cuídense de su gran enemigo, el diablo, porque anda al acecho como un león rugiente, buscando a quien devorar. Manténganse firmes contra él y sean fuertes en su fe. Recuerden que su familia de creyentes en todo el mundo también está pasando por el mismo sufrimiento. En su bondad, Dios los llamó a ustedes que participen de su gloria eterna por medio de Cristo Jesús. Entonces, después de que hayan sufrido un poco de tiempo, Él les restaurará, los sostendrá, los fortalecerá y los afirmará sobre un fundamento sólido. And so the thing I wanted to focus on is resist. Resist him. This word in the Greek means to arrange in battle, such as a face-to-face confrontation. To resist the enemy in a face-to-face confrontation. It means to resist by actively opposing pressure or power, to oppose with firm determination, to stand and face the enemy instead of running away from your post of duty. En la escritura dice, manténganse firmes contra él, el enemigo. La palabra en griego significa organizar una batalla como una confrontación cara a cara. Significa resistir oponiéndose activamente a la presión o al poder, oponerse con firme determinación. Estar de pie y enfrentar al enemigo en lugar de huir de los puestos. And then Peter goes on, he says, and know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. This reminds me of what you see in a gymnasium. People from all walks of life meeting in a building to build themselves up by resistance training. The greatest benefit in a gym is found when you have a workout partner. Recuerden que su familia de creyentes en todo el mundo también está pasando por el mismo sufrimiento. Esto me recuerda lo que verá en un gimnasio, gente de todos los ámbitos de la vida reuniéndose en un edificio para fortalecerse mediante el entrenamiento de resistencia. El mayor beneficio en un gimnasio se encuentra cuando tienes un compañero de entrenamiento. The benefits of having a workout partner. Remember this, Jesus sent his disciples out 2 by 2. They had workout partners. Los beneficios de tener un compañero de entrenamiento. Recuerde esto. Jesús envió a sus discípulos 2 and 2. The benefits are, they did some testing on this. It actually boosts motivation by 24%. So if you have a workout partner, it will actually boost your motivation 24%. Aumenta la motivación en 24%. And it ramps up intensity and time by 200%. Aumenta la intensidad y el tiempo en un 200%. You see, groups exercise creates something known as the Kohler effect, which is a psychological phenomenon that people experience to drive to work harder when surrounded by a group or a partner. El ejercicio grupal crea algo conocido como efecto Kohler, que es un fenómeno psicológico en el que las personas experimentan un impulso para trabajar más duro cuando están rodeadas de un grupo o pareja. You see, the results of resistance training, we're going to take a look at each one of them. You see, no one likes to go through trials. No one likes to get harassed by the enemy. No one likes to have to fight against the things that we have to deal with, the drugs, the alcohol, the broken homes, the broken marriages, just the rebellion that's all over, you name it, or just personal issues and struggles that we have that the enemy might be throwing at us. No, ninguno de nosotros deseamos a tener que batallar contra todas las cosas que están en el mundo. Sabemos que pues así es el mundo, es caído. The world is fallen. And we as believers, we're fighting against that. We're fighting against the current that's trying to pull us down this one road. And we are standing up against that, but it's a resistance. It's kind of like, you know, you look at the salmon when they're going up the river, right? They're going up the river and they're fighting hard to get up to the top. And as they fight to go up that river, not only do they have to contend with the river that is trying to push them down, but they also have some bears up there that are kind of hanging out by the rocks and they're just looking for these guys to come up, right? And they're like, oh, here comes breakfast. And so, but the fact is that they continue to fight for the top, to get to the top, because there's something in them that is going to be birthed when they make it to the top. And so for us, there may be something that God is birthing inside you. And you may need to fight against the current and avoid the bear as you fight to get to the top. And when you get to the top, then you drop the vision. You drop the new thing that God has placed in you. The word, the strength, reminds me of a scripture when Paul was struggling. And he talks to God about this. You know, he says, God, take this thing away from me. But he said, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so if you are going through any kind of battle and you find yourself being weakened, lean on him, look to him, but recognize that in him you are strong. You will find strength that comes from him more than you could ever imagine. En 2 Corintios 12, 9 dice, cada vez estaba hablando Pablo, le preguntó Dios al Señor por qué estaba sufriendo y le pidió que lo quitaba, ¿verdad? El sufrimiento. Pero dice, cada vez él me dijo, mi gracia es todo lo que necesitas. Mi poder actúa mejor en la debilidad. Así que ahora me alegra jatarme de mis debilidades para que el poder de Cristo pueda actuar a través de mí. Es por esto que me deleito en mis debilidades, en los insultos, en privaciones, en persecuciones y dificultades que sufro por Cristo. Pues cuando soy débil, entonces soy fuerte. There's a scripture, another one that I love, Philippians 4:13. You've heard it, and you probably have it. Some of you might even have it tattooed on you. I've seen it throughout. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. En la escritura dice, pues todo, en Filipenses 4:13, pues todo lo que lo puedo hacer por medio de Cristo, al quien me da las fuerzas. And so when you battle things, just know that as you resist, you're getting stronger. Your spirit is getting stronger. As long as you continue to resist, don't stop. It's worth the battle. The second thing is endurance. La segunda cosa es resistencia. We build endurance when we resist. In James 1:2-4, he says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't get so totally excited when things come my way that I'm not wanting, right? But he says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And here's why. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's why we resist. Santiago 1:2 dice, Amados hermanos, cuando tengan que enfrentar cualquier tipo de problemas, considérenlo como un tiempo para alegrarse como mucho, porque ustedes saben que siempre que se pone a prueba la fe, la constancia tiene una oportunidad para desarrollarse. Así que dejen que crezca, pues una vez que su constancia se haya desarrollado plenamente, serán perfectos y completos y no les faltará nada. Por eso batallamos contra el enemigo, por eso resistimos contra las cosas que vienen. En Romans 15, he says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus." En Romanos 15:4 dice, "Tales cosas se escribieron hace tiempo en las escrituras para que nos sirvan de enseñanza. Y las escrituras nos dan esperanza y ánimo mientras esperamos con paciencia hasta que se cumplan las promesas de Dios. Que Dios, quien da esa paciencia y ese ánimo, los ayude a vivir en plena armonía unos con otros, como corresponde a los seguidores de Cristo Jesús." So we see that we have strength and endurance through resistance. The third thing is flexibility. La tercera cosa es flexibilidad. In Philippians 4:13, he says, "I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any way and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." En Filipenses 4:12 dice, "Sé vivir con casi nada o con todo lo necesario. He aprendido el secreto de vivir en cualquier situación, sea con el estómago lleno o vacío, con mucho o con poco. Pues todo lo puedo hacer por medio de Cristo, quien me da las fuerzas." And so he was talking about flexibility. He had learned to adjust his whole life. He was pretty rigid and pretty tight before he ran into Jesus. And once Jesus got a hold of him, he started to learn this new thing called flexibility. And he learned how to be flexible in whatever situation he was in. In 1 Corinthians it says, "For though I am free from all," Paul says this, "I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law." Then he goes on, he says, "To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel." You see, Paul was willing to do anything, go anywhere, inside within God's boundaries, of course. But he was willing to do what he needed to do just to be able to reach someone out there. So to the Jew, he was a Jew. To the Gentile, he was a Gentile. To the weak, he was weak. He did what he needed to be able to do so he could connect with them at a level and then bring them to the gospel so that they would be saved. En Corintios 9 dice, "A pesar de que soy un hombre libre y san y sin amo, me ha hecho esclavo de todos para llevar a muchos a Cristo. Cuando estaba con los judíos, vivía como un judío, para llevar a los judíos a Cristo. Cuando estaba con los que siguen la ley judía, yo también vivía bajo esa ley. A pesar de que no estoy sujeto a la ley, pero me sujetaba a ella para poder llevar a Cristo a los que estaban bajo la ley. Cuando estoy con los gentiles, quienes no siguen la ley judía, yo también vivo independiente de esa ley para poder llevarlos a Cristo. Pero no ignoro la ley de Dios, obedezco la ley de Cristo. Cuando estoy con los que son débiles, me hago débil con ellos, porque deseo llevar a los débiles a Cristo. Si con todos trato de encontrar algo que tengamos en común, y hago todo lo posible para salvar a algunos. Hago lo que sea para difundir la buena noticia. Pablo era muy estricto antes de conocer a Cristo. Y luego Cristo lo cambió, cambió su corazón. De ahí adelante, él se juntaba con los gentiles, con los judíos, con cualquier persona para poder compartir con ellos el Evangelio, las buenas nuevas. So in conclusion, strength, endurance, and flexibility. That's what the resistance brings you. These are the benefits of resistance as we journey through this life, becoming formed and fashioned into the likeness of Christ. En conclusión, la fuerza, resistencia y flexibilidad. Estos son los beneficios de la resistencia a medida que viajamos por esta vida y nos convertimos en personas formadas y modeladas a la semejanza de Cristo. Remember this. We have other believers throughout the earth that are facing hardships and trials for the sake of the gospel. It's not easy to resist the pull of this world. Recuerde esto. Tenemos otros creyentes en toda la tierra que enfrentan dificultades y pruebas por causa del Evangelio. No es fácil resistir el tirón de este mundo. With this in mind, it is important that we stay in fellowship as we partner to encourage one another in our walk of faith, looking for the many opportunities to be able to connect with others in order to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Con esto en mente, es importante que permanezcamos en comunión mientras nos asociamos para animarnos unos a otros en nuestro camino de fe, buscando las muchas oportunidades para poder conectarnos con otros a fin de compartir con ellos el Evangelio de Jesucristo. Amen. God bless you as you continue to take on the resistance of what's out there. The resistance can come from many different ways, but you just continue to fight through it. Continue to go forth, and you will find yourself getting stronger and stronger day by day. Amen? God bless you.
Well, Jesus, we pray for that working out in our life right now, today, this week, that strength is coming through your Spirit to us. And as we apply that in the choices that we make, then we begin to truly press against the way the enemy has been coming at us, and that endurance to just press through those things and to see that victory that's available to us in all those things that we might be facing. And so, Lord, whatever those specifics are for us, I pray that you would make those known to us today. Where has the enemy been coming at us? Where have our feet been pulled out from underneath us? You've been giving us a firm foundation, a firm and established place this morning to stand in. And I just pray right now as we go from this place that we understand that for ourselves, what you've offered us, and that we act out of that place. And therefore, then offering strength into everywhere we are, in our workplaces, our home life, our individual relationships that we are navigating, Lord, that we can offer help and hope and love and patience and strength into all those places because it's coming from you, a firm place there, not our strength, not our places where we find ourselves so weak, Lord. So thank you for your word this morning. We trust in it. We apply it this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church, and we need your power in us.
your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your streets and land, set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. We pray, unleash your kingdom power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of your church, and we are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on fire.
Just a reminder, in a short bit here, we're going to be having a meeting right back here by the tree area for those of us that would like to gather and hear what the church is doing, what's going on as we catch up with each other this fall. And lastly, a reminder, next week is our celebration service, so some extended worship and some time in His Word as well. So we'll see you next week. God bless.